Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hi everybody, happy holidays. It's Adam again, and today I'm not joined by Jill because we only have four microphones in our recording studio, and there's four people here, not including me. Math is hard. Anyway, I am going to introduce Kristen, Emma, and Maria, who two of the three of you have been on the podcast many, many times.
Yeah.
Hi.
Maria has not been. Hello. Oh,
hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I don't know why.
Great to be here.
Yeah. Emma's been on so many times that she can just take ownership.
She's now like a little bit of a host. Okay.
So this episode, we're going to be doing kind of like a gift-giving guide we asked previously on Professional Book Nerds, like the Vampire Diaries. My wife's watching a lot of Vampire Diaries, so I hear that every single... previously on the podcast, we asked people to send in either their book recommendation, or basically ask for book recommendations for either people that they're shopping for or for themselves. And so we got a ton of really awesome requests. And I figured instead of having Jill or I do this, we would have you three do it, because your job here at Overdrive is basically to make the collections that all of our libraries purchase and look at, and you guys curate all day long. You are all librarians. Yes. Correct. I was just smiling at me, forgetting that responses have to be audio for
yes podcasts. I'm just nodding.
Yeah, thank you for that. So what we're gonna do is, we got, I think there's like six or seven of these, and so I'm gonna read what the person sent us, and then whoever it is, you guys can offer up your recommendations and why you think those are good recommendations. Before we do that, do you guys want to talk about whatever you are reading right now? We could do that real quick if you want, maybe.
Sure.
I've said my voice so much. Okay, Maria, go ahead.
I'm very excited because I'm reading My Sister the Serial Killer right now, which is a new book, and it's very short, mm-hmm. which is good because then I feel accomplished because I am reading it quickly. But it's really fun. It's kind of... it's got a little bit of, like, sass. Sorry,
it's really fun is a hilarious way to describe.
It's really? Oh, I know. I also read a lot of true crime books about real serial killers, so, like, probably me saying that is fun is also disturbing. But it is fun, a fun book. Her writing style is really kind of, like, kind of dry humor mm-hmm. infused in the whole ridiculous situation of her sister actually being a serial killer. So I'm enjoying that so far.
I'm seeing why you and Emma are friends. I know a lot of people have actually been reading that.
Yeah, it's fun so far.
Kristen, Emma looks really focused over there, so I'm going to give her a moment. So, Kristen, what are you reading right now?
So, last night I actually just finished Be Our Ghost, which is one of my cozy mysteries. It's by Kate Kingsbury, and it is the third book in the Merry Ghost Inn mystery series, and it's back at the Merry Ghost Inn, and the ladies, there is a murder in town of a guy who's trying to develop their small town into something that no one really wants it to be, and uh-oh, he turns up dead.
Hold on, is it a murder most foul?
Oh,
thank you.
Oh boy.
Thank you.
Anyway, Moving on from that.
Thank you for the laugh, because I'm the host. I appreciate it.
It was delightful. And so now I just started Becoming by Michelle Obama. Literally just read the prologue last night before bed and was like, I want to continue reading, but I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So I went to sleep instead.
Yeah. I love punny mysteries.
Me too.
Emma?
Okay. I'm actually not reading anything at the moment.
What?
Dun, dun, dun. I have several books actually checked out on my shelf that I'm staring at right now that are eclectic, to say the least. I did actually check out a book from research for this podcast. So I do want to read that. It's Not Even Bones by Rebecca Schaefer. That's, I think, next on my list, but I haven't started it yet.
It's kind of spoilery for someone's going to get that recommendation.
Yeah, it's the holidays, so I haven't really been reading much.
I'm going to ask you to put your microphone a little closer to you.
Okay.
Thank you. I started last night in Anonymous Girl by Greer Hendricks and Sarah Pekkanen.
How is it so far?
So far, it's really, really good. I will be interviewing both of them next week for a January episode when the book comes out. They're going to be in two different places, and I'm calling them both, so that'll be really fun, because there'll be three people talking in three different places. So it'll be
technology.
Sorry in advance for talking over people, and that's going to be really fun. But it's really, really good. It's this young woman who is in New York City. She basically is almost like a personal makeup artist for people. So, like, she goes from person to person doing their makeup for them if they're going out or whatever it is. She used to work in the theater and did makeup, and she gets this... she goes into this anonymous trial where it's a morality trial, like an ethics trial, and she's sitting in front of a computer, and the computer asks her questions like, would you feel guilty if you told a lie and got away with it? And she answers a question, and then it's like, what's something you regret the most? And she types something, and then it responds. It's like, no, go deeper than that. Like, we need you to really be honest with us. And it's very creepy, and so far it's really good. I just started it last night, but I'm looking forward to continuing going with it. And I'm also reading The First Conspiracy by Brad Meltzer, who I'm going to be interviewing as well. And it's all about...
Oh, yeah, it's his new one. Yeah. Newer one, right?
Yeah, and it's all about how there was a plot to murder George Washington, and it was like the first counterintelligence thing that ever happened. And spoiler, they didn't succeed.
What?
George made it through. So, okay, let's get into some of our gift giving.
Woo.
I am going to read these emails, and then whichever one of you guys it is, I will let you go in. So the first one, the subject was wheelhouse recommendations. We stole that again from the Reading Glasses podcast, so sorry, ladies. Hi, Jewel and Adam, or in this case, I think Kristen. I just wanted to share with you that the PBN podcast is the very first podcast I listened to. I saw the description on Overdrive and was curious, so I knew that I must figure out what a podcast is. I'm not young and have been a reader my whole life. Discovering podcasts literally has changed what I read and how much I read. Oh, and what a good book club means to me, too. We're all fans of the podcast. Her book club is fans of the podcast now. Aw.
Oh, cool.
I digress. I didn't need to read all that, but it made me feel good. My wheelhouse is historical fiction with a medical slant. Loved My Name is Mary Sutter by Robin Oliveira. City of Dreams by Beverly Swirling. And State of Wonder by Ann Patchett. Appreciate any suggestions. Thanks so much, Shelley.
I really loved this one. First of all, it introduced me to a new genre that I was like, medical fiction? I had never even thought about that. Like, medical thrillers is one that you hear a lot about, Robin Cook.
Right.
People like that, but this was very historical fiction with a medical slant. I was like, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually made a whole recommended list based off of her wheelhouse reading.
You guys.
Yeah, so thank you for this request.
Yeah.
It's super interesting for everybody.
Maybe you'll see it on your Overdrive site. Who knows?
Amazing. Yeah. I think I know someone who could probably put that on the main Overdrive site.
Whoa. It might be one of us. So I had a lot of suggestions, and unfortunately, Shelley, since we don't have you on the podcast, I'm not sure how many of these maybe you've read, but there are a lot of really great historical fiction with, you know, doctors, nurses, alchemist kind of-y stuff that was in there. So I'm going to go through a couple that I think are maybe perfect for you. The first one is The Midwife of Hope River. This is the first in a series. It's by Patricia Harmon, and it's the story of a midwife, Patience Murphy, during the Depression. She lives in Appalachia, and she's just trying to help mothers through the childbirthing process and win their trust and just help out her town. So it's the story of both, you know, this very hard scrabble point in American history, and also of Patience trying to help out her community and the women in it. I think that might be a really good read for you. Please let us know if you like it or if you've already read it.
Sorry, was there more? Sorry, I feel like I cut you off there.
Oh, no, you didn't. That's
okay.
Totally fine. So the next one I have is, again, some of these are a little bit older, so I'm not sure if you've already read them. This is The Physician by Noah Gordon, and it's the first in a trilogy as well, so giving you a few more than one book to read if you really like these. It's part of the Cole Family Trilogy, and this takes place in the 11th century. So we're going way far back, historical fiction. And it's about Rob Cole. He lives in London. He's really poor. He's trying to hustle and finds that, you know, he can do that by making kind of these fake potions. And he actually gets very interested in the arts of healing, ends up going out to the Middle East, Persia, and going to an Arab university to learn how to actually help heal people. So it's his journey, and again, taking place in medieval times, so that's pretty fun as well. I think that one might be a really good read-alike for you as well.
I'm so glad you guys are doing these. You're just so much better than I would be. Oh, man. Those sound really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, I have so many on here. I did put Outlander on here. That one, you know, the main character is she's a nurse in World War II, and then, oh, my gosh, somehow she's in Jacobean Scotland. And so she's a healer there. That's part of the story, but the main part is, you know, the love story and her being in Scotland during this time period. So I'm not sure that one fits quite as well, but it is an epic story. There are many, many books in it. So that one's always fun as well.
I have never seen a single part of Outlander, but my wife watches it so often and then sings the song so often that I know the intro song by heart just from like tangentially being aware of it.
Yeah. I loved the first book in the series. I thought, you know, they're like 800 pages long, which is way too long for me. But some people can get really into that. And Shelley, after looking at the books you're really into, it seems like you're okay with longer books. You're not too afraid of them. So, I flew through Outlander, that first one. I thought it was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. I will give you a warning that there's some stuff that happens in there that's kind of, it's difficult to stomach.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, trigger warning.
Good job.
Thanks.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next one. So that's good. I didn't want to cut you. I know you said you had a lot. So okay. All right. Did one of you guys do the 14-year-old with the poetry? Yes. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. I will read this one. Okay. So if you're all up for it, I would love some book gift suggestions for my 14-year-old daughter. She is loving poetry as of late. Has read and loved Milk and Honey, The Sun and Her Flowers, Adolescence, and asked for I Saw You as a Flower for Christmas. Do you know of some other poetry that a 14-year-old girl would enjoy? I haven't had much looking on my own. Thanks. And I actually know who this is from. I don't think they put their name on it, but I believe this is from a woman named Melissa, who's a longtime listener, and her family actually travel around the country. Live while traveling around the country. She's super cool. I'm super jealous of her life. And
ooh.
Yeah, she always talks about how much she loves the podcast, and I'm secretly like, I love your life more than my podcast.
Well, hopefully these recommendations are what she's looking for. So we came up with a couple of things, and some of these are authors that write novels in verse, so not straight up poetry collections, but similar, but maybe slightly out of the comfort zone. So anything by Ellen Hopkins, she writes a lot of young adult novels in verse. They do touch on some grittier topics for YA, but if the daughter has read, you know, Milk and Honey and Sun and Her Flowers, I think she can handle kind of the more mature themes in those books. So anything by Ellen Hopkins, Jason Reynolds does novels in verse. I would also recommend The Poet X, and I'm going to butcher the last name, by Elizabeth Acevedo.
Acevedo,
thank you. Mm-hmm. So that is a novel in verse as well. This book received a lot of attention this year. It was a National Book Award longlist title, but it follows a young a girl just kind of navigating life, growing up. It's really well done and beautifully written. And then a couple of other more traditional sort of poetry collections, The Dark Between Stars by Atticus. This has poems on love and nature. Again, this one is a bit more mature, but it was beautifully written and really gorgeous photography. But again, if she's read some of the more adult poetry, I think that she can handle that one as well. And then lastly, If They Come For Us by Fatima Asghar. This was a debut poetry collection that sort of delves into finding your identity while kind of trying to take into account, you know, family, culture, and all these other things. So that was beautifully written and well recommended from lots and lots of people. So hopefully that's a good place to start.
I also know I've talked about it ad nauseum, but Kwame Alexander writes in books in verse a lot. And he, if your daughter reads the Jason Reynolds books, especially mm-hmm. Long Way Down, and likes that, Solo, and what are some of the other Kwame Brown books?
Swing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's
I'm just repeating a few.
Yeah,
because
it came
to there, me.
There's
one
another one, but I can only remember the
yeah,
ones
I know,
with
yeah.
S,
and
apparently.
I, like I said, I know that she's a long time listener, so she mm-hmm. probably heard me interview Kwame, and is probably like, "Yeah, Adam, and you interviewed Jason Reynolds, and those two, I know." But those are all awesome.
Yeah, so. It's actually a really good time right now. YA literature has a lot of novels in verse. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a great thing for reluctant readers mm-hmm. or her daughter who's really into poetry. I don't feel like you find many kids who really mm-hmm. like poetry. Yeah. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Also, I'll get on my soapbox. If you go on the New York Times bestsellers list for YA, it's amazingly diverse right now and kind of has mm-hmm. been all year. And yep. it just makes me so happy to see, like, hey, look, no matter what your family background is, your children will have someone who looks like them on the New York Times bestsellers
yeah.
list.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Okay, steps down. all right, next one. Okay, this is pretty funny. We all chuckled at this. I'm not going to read this whole email, but I will just tell you that this particular person who wrote in sent us book recommendations, which we appreciate, but he also asked for some. So, okay, I don't give books as gifts because most of the readers I know have a TBR list a mile long already, and I try not to add to their burden or be an enabler.
Yep.
You should always be a book enabler.
Yeah. Yep.
We both understand, all of us understand, but also, also, what if? I do, however, get books for myself as a gift, so I'm going to get your recommendations for my particular reading tastes. I like steampunk or diesel punk, masked crime fighters or vigilantes, superheroes, prose, not comics, I've got plenty of those, and non-Tolkien-esque fantasy, sword and sorcery stuff, not modern or urban fantasy. This is a buck wild, awesome wheelhouse. I'm all for this. I think this is you, Maria?
Yes. All right. So I had fun looking for these as well. Now, since I can't talk to you, gift to self person, I'm not sure if you meant, I assume you mean that you, if you want non-Tolkien-esque, you don't want sword and sorcery stuff, and you're more a fan of modern urban fantasy, but so I hope that you enjoyed these recommendations. One author, right off the bat, you may have read, but he's got a couple series, is Jim Butcher, and his Dresden Files have, like, I think they have at least 15 titles.
So many mm-hmm. of them.
Yes. But the premise is really cool because the main character, Harry Dresden, he works with the Chicago PD. So we've kind of got that crime fighting sort of thing. They kind of call him when it's something that's a little bit out of the realm of real life sort of thing. So that's always a fun one. Also, if you're looking to get into a series that will last you a while, that's always fun. Sometimes waiting for the next book is really annoying. Mm-hmm. So the other one by Jim Butcher called The Aeronauts Windlass, it's the book one of the Cinder Spire series. That is more steampunk. That book came out in 2015. It looks like there's supposed to be a second one, but there was no release date that I can tell. But sometimes these things take a while. But that kind of has to do with some aristocratic houses are developing scientific marvels and fostering trade alliances and trying to maintain the peace in their world. So that might be a cool one, especially if you've already read the Dresden Files.
I hope there's lots of talk about those trade alliances in there. That just sounds so good.
Trade alliances, humanity,
oh man,
all that stuff.
That's like so what right. Episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars, where it's just like all about
the Rebel Alliance. And I have one more that also has alliances in it, so there you go. So it's by the author Rod Duncan. It's the Map of Unknown Things series. There's two books in this series so far. The first one's called The Queen of All Crows, and this is about airships start disappearing in the middle of the Atlantic, and they are forbidden to operate beyond their own territorial waters, so they have to send in spies. And one of the spies, her name's Elizabeth, she's like the main character here, and she has to disguise herself as a man. She takes to the sea in search of these airships, so good adventure story, spy kind of steampunk element. So those are three that hopefully you have not read, and a couple that should be continuing. So even if you have read them, hopefully that sparks your interest to make sure you keep in touch with those authors and see when the next series is coming out.
Can I add one more?
Yeah.
So this isn't falling in any specific wheelhouse other than fantasy, but if you, writer in person, has not read any N.K. Jemisin, she is, my personal opinion, the greatest science fiction / fantasy writer of all time, full stop. So all three of her books in the Broken Earth trilogy won the Hugo Award. So that happened. Just all three of them. Just
no
not
big
a
deal.
Big deal. Yeah, she's incredible. The first one is the fifth season. And if you read that and you like it, you will love the whole series.
So. And the third one just came out
somewhat recently.
Year? Yeah. Thanks for adding her. I totally...
No, yeah, it doesn't fall in his wheelhouse at all. I just anytime I hear the words fantasy and science fiction, I'm like, you know who's great, and I haven't talked about
you know who's great,
and I haven't talked about it in 10 minutes.
But you're not the first person to tell me that, like, they're the best books ever read. So,
You read the first one. Not only is the story incredible, but the way the structure of the book, you're just reading it, and like 2/3 of the way through, you're like, Oh, that's what's happening? It's just bananas.
That's
good.
Awesome.
Okay. All right, next one. I am writing to request a book to get my sister! Over the past 2 years, she has gotten really into audiobooks, and as a family resident reader, I would love to give her an audiobook credit with a specific recommendation, but I have honestly had a hard time coming up with something, as we have pretty different tastes. More specifically, she likes things that are a little creepy and pretty intense, where I'm a huge baby. I feel like I know who's going to answer this. We both read I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, just like everyone in our office did, and enjoyed it, but it was almost too scary for me and totally fine for her. Other than that, she really enjoyed the Red Sparrow series and the Outlander series. Any ideas?
Okay. So
yeah, I knew it was Emma. I knew it was Emma.
Yep. I really clung on to creepy and intense, and quite frankly, disregarded the Red Sparrow and Outlander series in this recommendation. So my first recommendation is really great on audio. I've talked about this on the podcast, probably just to everyone's, you know, sick of it. But You by Carolyn Kepnes is a fantastic audio. It's read by Santino Fontana, who is just fantastic. In case you don't know what he's from, he was one of the characters in Frozen, random, and he was on the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and does a lot of Broadway, but he has a really good voice. You follows a guy named Joe
Who did he play on Frozen?
Yeah.
Prince Hans.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, continue.
Prince Hans. Yeah, just a random.
Listeners, I just raised my hand to get him as a child.
And so, no, Yu follows this guy that works in a bookshop, and he meets this girl named Bex, and obviously she's just in love with him from that first interaction, and he decides to take it upon himself to insert himself into her life. And it's super creepy. He basically stalks her. Chaos ensues. It's told from his perspective, so you definitely get the kind of intense logic of why he thinks that all of the things he's doing are acceptable. So that is one I would definitely recommend. Also, slightly different, but, you know, similarly intense, and like I'll Be Gone in the Dark, Stranger Beside Me by Anne Rule, where it kind of follows the dawning of her that this man that she knew was Ted Bundy, a serial killer. Super creepy. I think that's probably even more creepy.
And it's one of those, it's like one of the core in the canon of true crime. So if you did like Michelle McNamara, definitely check that out.
This sounds like one that Ellie should read, or Ellie should not read, but
no.
Her sister
should. Yes. Stay away from Ellie, avoid, but your sister, right up her street. And then the last book I want to recommend is Pieces of Her by Karen Slaughter. This is Karen Slaughter's newest book. It is definitely creepy and intense. It follows a mother and daughter, and kind of touches on the fact that we don't necessarily know who our parents were before they were our parents. And I always recommend Karen Slaughter to people that can tolerate anything that's slightly intense. This, I feel like, is an intense book, but it's not her most grim. So if you want to start with Karen Slaughter, I would recommend Pieces of Her. Because it's beautifully written. The audio is well done as well. And again, all of these would make great reads or listens because they have really good audiobook narrators. Hopefully that helps. I completely disregarded two of the series that they enjoyed and just clung to the I'll Be Gone in the Dark
That's okay.
book. But I think these would be really good.
It's okay. I recently just took a bunch of pictures of people around our office for our blog and our social media and asked them what their favorite book was. And I'll Be Gone in the Dark was like five of your picks, I believe. It's wonderful. Okay, next one. As I write this, I'm listening to Adam asking listeners to send emails requesting recommendations. So here I am emailing asking for recommendations. All right. This is actually for me. My family members are asking me for books that I want, and because I have a problem and buy so many books, I don't know what to tell them. You should try your library. I have found myself in a bit of a slump, to be honest. I read Saw Kill Girls by Claire Legrand, which I love for the creepy atmosphere, and recently finished Not Even Bones by Rebecca Schaefer. Honestly, the moral ambiguity and fast-paced style have left me in a loss for what to read next. Any recommendations for suggestions I can give to my non-reading family for books that are similar to those stories? Love the podcast, Haley.
Me again.
I was just like staring at Kristen like, yeah, nope. Are you ready?
Nope, not me.
Again. So I've gone two directions here I have three recommendations. So I actually have Saw Kill Girls on my shelf checked out. And I did mention this earlier. I have Not Even Bones checked out as well after reading this recommendation and reading about that book because it sounds great. I can understand not knowing what to read next after you've read something fantastic. So hopefully these will help get you out of that reading slump. But the first book I want to recommend is The Hazelwood by Melissa Albert. This is a young adult novel that has the dark fantasy kind of folklore elements. It follows a 17-year-old girl named Alice, and her mother spent, you know, most of her life on the road. They have terrible luck, and they seem to always kind of be running from a lot of things. And suddenly, Alice's grandmother, who was an author of kind of this cult classic book of fairy tales, passes away on her estate called the Hazelwood. I love an estate with a name. Alice kind of learns that their previous bad luck was, you know, nothing in comparison to what's ahead. And so actually her mother is kidnapped. by somebody who claims to come from this fantasy fairy tale world that her grandmother wrote stories about. And she kind of has to navigate all of this craziness. So this book I have not read is on my list, but sounds fantastic. And I know has gotten a lot of praise for being gritty and dark, having really, you know, interesting fantasy elements, and is, you know, supposed to be, you know, right up that street of the dark fantasy kind of young adult fiction.
It's real good.
Yeah.
It's on my shelf as well.
Good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
And it has a nice cover, which, you know, means nothing, but can't hurt.
It's so good.
And then the next book I want to recommend is also by Claire Legrand. I don't know how French we get. I was talking about this earlier.
I should ask, Jill actually interviewed her. She's really nice. I should have asked Jill, but I prefer to live in a world where it's super French.
Very French. Claire Legrand. We can get in the throat there. So I would recommend Furyborn, which is part of her Imperium trilogy. This was kind of a huge must-read fantasy book from 2018, and I know that a lot of us actually have advanced copies of the second book on our desks. So this, I know, will make the rounds around the office again as well. But again, kind of original fantasy, really dark, gritty elements. You know, we have female main characters. We've got a lot of drama, saving of the realms type of a thing. So there's a lot here, and because it will be a trilogy, you'll have, you know, three, you know, books that you can read.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I always tell people, you know, I give them a peek behind the curtain in every episode. We have a great relationship with all the publishers, Sourcebooks being chief among them, I think, and their folks there send us all these books. And I feel like I saw more and I have multiple copies of Furyborn and now also the second one. I feel like we got more copies of that book than anything I've ever seen here in my almost 10 years.
There was no shortage.
Oh, yeah. yeah, the rep for Sourcebooks kept pushing that.
They rock.
She was like, we love this so much. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as far as like the moral ambiguity thing goes, I think Furyborn's a really good choice because you have these, you know, two women who it's like they're both making choices that might be, you know, a little questionable at points in time. But it's kind of just like, yep, that's how people act. That's just what happens. And then as far as like the action that's going on, you kind of sometimes have to make not the best choices.
Right? I have two to add.
Well, I have one more.
Oh, go.
And then, real quick.
No, you're good. You can go slow if you want.
No. And so this is a recommendation kind of from the Not Even Bones, where it's kind of morally ambiguous and has a fast-paced style. It's not fantasy, so it is a little bit more thrillery. But I read this in like one sitting. It was so tense and creepy and just plain messed up. So if that's kind of what you're going for, I would recommend Behind Closed Doors by B.A. Paris. This book is a couple of years old. I've talked about it nonstop because I'm very repetitive. But this book follows a married couple, Jack and Grace. Everything looks great. You know, they're happy newlyweds. They live in this giant estate. They're constantly attached to the hip. And that's all well and good, but something doesn't seem right. I would highly recommend this book just for kind of the tone. It's super tense. I read it kind of like with my shoulders just like in my ears. It was so creepy and fast-paced. But this book is super messed up, which is why I would recommend it. If you want something that's definitely a little bit morally ambiguous.
My two to add to that really quickly are Winter Song by S.J. Jones, which I've talked about a few times, but it's basically The Labyrinth meets Beauty and the Beast. It's amazing, and there's a second one too, and it's like such a circular story. You never really know where you're at. It's so good. And then the other one is Sisters of the Winter Wood by Rena Rosner.
Oh, that's on my list.
It's so good. It's taken from a old Jewish fairy tale, and it's about these two sisters in the woods, and their family comes from a long line of people who can transform into swans and people who can transform into bears, and they're supposed to be like mortal enemies, but they obviously aren't because they're sisters, and there's a lot of like, there's like a, the old tale of the Goblin Market is in there, and there's a lot of, it's so good and wonderful. Highly recommend. Okay, I'm guessing you guys probably took this last one and split into two since they asked for two wildly different recommendations.
Mm. I actually just did the whole thing.
Kristen's got it all.
I just okay.
got it all.
Yeah.
Did I miss one? Did I leave one off then?
I have one more.
I think I missed. Do you have like the email or like the note that they sent?
Yeah.
I'll let you just read it because I think I definitely missed it.
Sure. Or Kristen, did you want to go first?
Or do you want to do this long one first?
Oh, since you haven't talked in a while.
All right. Do the long one first.
And then I'll do mine. Is that okay? Sorry. I just commandeered the direction of this podcast.
You're good. You're going to do just fine here. It's great. all right. I will go through this one and I'll read the first half first. Then
yes.
We'll do the second.
Perfect.
Okay. So this one is from Mikkelin and it's sorry if I got the name mispronounced. I started listening to your podcast several weeks ago and instantly loved it. Thank you so much for creating a casual, conversational, and informational interviews with authors. Thank you. I don't know how to be formal, so it works out pretty well for me. Okay, so I have two family members who I'm trying to brainstorm books for, and I would love to get your input on either of them. I think we're going to do both. My dad. He has a history of reading best-selling action thriller books, John Grisham, Dan Brown, Michael Connelly, James Patterson, etc., so he's every dad ever, mine included. However, he has an interest in reading something with a bit more depth and a touch more complex writing. Note, his favorite book is The Count of Monte Cristo, the abridged version, and he specifically says that. But I don't know of any canonical books that he has read. Also, cleaner content, nothing more than the occasional curse or steamy scene will go over best with him.
Okay, so I love this. This is great.
This is great.
Yeah, because your dad is a total dad.
Dad books.
Super dad.
Yeah. Super dad. And first of all, the writer talks about your dad and sister, and same thing in both, where they're both looking to read things that have a little bit more depth in them, and that's great. I think that's awesome if you want to read something maybe a little more literary, but I'd also say just lean into what you like. Never feel like you have to read something because, you know, it's going to make you smarter or whatever. Reading's awesome no matter what it is that you're reading, so I'd say to your dad, you know, if you really like those action thriller books, keep going with it. And so along those lines, Michael Crichton is probably something your father has already read. That's kind of the thing when you mention all of these, it's like, well, I have a plethora of authors for your dad, but he's probably read a lot of them. Michael Crichton, he did Jurassic Park, Micro. There's just a lot of stuff there. And his stuff's really interesting because, again, there is kind of a sciency base to it. But then you have action and thriller stuff happening. So that's a great one if he just wants a good page turner. I would also say Relic by Douglas Preston and Lincoln Child. It's the first book in the Pendergast series, and there are a few books in that series, so another great one. If he really likes it, he can read a few more. That one is the story of it's the Natural History Museum in New York, and something weird is happening there. Guests are ending up dead in the hallways, and it seems to be something that is not human. So they bring in an FBI detective to kind of search and figure out what's going on. But the museum itself is going to go ahead and open its doors to the public. So like, bum, bum, bum. What's going to happen? And everyone who's read this or who I've heard has read it just loves it. And it's a great page turner. So that's an awesome one. If he is looking for something along the lines of Count of Monte Cristo, something a little bit more that has some more depth, really beautiful writing, I'm going to go ahead and recommend Lonesome Dove by Larry McMurtry. It won the Pulitzer Prize in maybe the 80s? I'm not sure. So it's a little bit older, but it's a classic. It has a lot of characters that are really lovable. Give it maybe 50 pages to get into, but it'll pull you in. You will fall in love with the characters. It'll probably make you weep because some of the characters might not stick around the whole time. It's also part of a series, but you could just read Lonesome Dove and be fine with that. So yeah, it's about a cattle drive. And so they go, I think, from Texas to like Wyoming or Nebraska, something like that. And then the last one for him I'm going to recommend is Dark Matter by Blake Crouch. That one is maybe from 2015 or 2016. And it is a kind of techno thriller about a guy who, you know, he's living this great life, but, you know, he wonders what could have happened had he taken another path, had he not gotten married and instead kind of pursued this career in science. Instead, he became a professor. And all of a sudden, one day, someone else is living his life. And turns out it's, you know, this different version of him from an alternate reality. So then he has to go through trying to figure out how he can get his life back. So that one was really good, too.
I would also recommend Marathon Man by William Goldman. William Goldman's the guy who wrote Princess Bride and just decided that he was going to write like a thriller and wrote like probably one of the best thrillers of all time. Some people are just really good at writing. But there's a couple of scenes that are kind of not like graphic but uncomfortable with a dentist's drill.
I know.
That's why I didn't want to talk about it for too long. Okay, the next one is for the sister. She likes to read but never does because of the pulls of her phone and Netflix are too great. I understand. She's a high school senior who is really into music scenes and follows bands, contemporary singer songwriter, a bit of punk rock and some musical theater because I introduced her to Dear Evan Hansen and Groundhog Day. You are a good sibling.
Yep.
her wheelhouse, lots of John Green and of course Harry Potter. Similarly to my father, she's interested in reading a bit more literary fiction. I've been trying to get her to read Jennifer Egan's A Visit to the Goon Squad, but she hasn't yet. Still though she struggled through to the Lighthouse, she claims it's one of her favorite books. That's all I've got. They're light readers, so their wheelhouses are sort of vague. Sorry. Whenever I gush about books, they get really regretful and say that they want to pick a book. So hopefully a couple of gifted books will be enough to push them over the edge and into some pages.
Woo. All right. So, I don't know anyone who says that To the Lighthouse is their favorite book.
I second that.
But I did love another Virginia Woolf book that I really love is A Room of One's Own. And that is actually a series of essays that Virginia Woolf gave speeches of at women's colleges throughout, I think, like the early 1900s. And so it's just about being a writer and finding a space for yourself to be creative. It's a great piece of feminist literature. It's not literature, it's essays. But it's really short, so, you know, if she's just looking for something to get through pretty quickly, that's a really good one. I would also suggest, again, kind of the literary vein, Between the World and Me by Ta-Nehisi Coates?
Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Thank you. Yes. That book, again, it's a few years old, but it is, the author wrote it as a letter to his son about what it's like to be a black man and what he has to look forward to in this world and the struggles he is going to face. It is excellent. It was so good. And I think that one's a modern classic. But again, like I said before, go ahead and lean into, you know, whatever you really like. So I have a couple of YA books that I think she would enjoy. The first one is Alex Approximately by Jen Bennett. And this was actually Emma suggested this one. Emma, do you want to talk
She's
a little bit about
literally
it?
Literally dancing.
She
around.
Is dancing.
it's a really good YA book if they like the kind of realistic young adult stuff like John Green. This Alex Approximately by Jen Bennett, it was so lovely to read. And I say that as an adult that sometimes has a hard time reading YA because you just want to tell them to communicate and then the whole book would be two pages because you don't have all that miscommunication. But a really good one.
YA lover over here.
I read a lot of YA and I love YA, but some of them...
Yeah,
you know.
I'm just sassing you.
But Alex Approximately follows a girl that moves to a seaside town in California, I believe. I read this book a couple years ago. And she's been chatting with this guy online fuzzy on how they met, but I think it was a little bit more old school, like they met in a chat room or they were fans on a YouTube video or something. And it turns out he lives in the same town that she just moved to. You know, because that happens frequently.
All the time.
And
all right.
No, it does. And so she's having these conversations with this guy online, and she's settling into her new town, and she meets some people, including a handsome young fella. And I'll let you figure out what happens next. But it's very lovely and really nicely written.
Yeah, when I was reading about it, it kept comparing it to, it's basically You've Got Mail for a YA audience. Mm-hmm. And You've Got Mail is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, you got to love it.
So good.
So cute. There's also like a fun, weird, kind of almost Winchester Mystery House-esque tourist attraction in the town that they both work at, and it's just really cute and fun.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so the last book I have for her on here, since you said Harry Potter, Harry Potter. this book came out, again, maybe earlier this year? Maybe last year? I can't remember. Children of Blood and Bone.
Oh my God, it's so...
Everyone. I would like to talk for 45 straight minutes now about how much I love Tomi Adeyemi.
Oh my gosh. It's so good. It's a book I read the fastest this year. I crushed it.
Yeah. And it's a long book.
Yeah.
I guess we could let you talk.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
No,
we
both
were like, stop everything.
Yeah, yeah. It is excellent. It is a fantasy that's surrounded with African mythology. It's about a group of magical people living in this fantasy world. And they are being eradicated because the royal family and a lot of higher-ups think that their magic is dangerous. And so it's about this one young woman who is part of this magical group who's being ostracized, and basically her and her family there's a genocide against them. So she comes along, and she's trying to stop this. And then it's also from the perspective of the prince. He is someone who's been, you know, going around. He's part of the army, been trying to kill off these people. And so they kind of are at odds. And there's maybe a little bit of romance there. But it is an excellent book. And then the afterword, actually, the author talks about how she was inspired to write this because of police violence against black people. And so she wrote this kind of as this group of magical people is kind of like what we're seeing in our communities that African Americans have to put up with. And I just thought that I wish was a foreword or a prologue to the book, because you read that and you're like, whoa, now I feel like I should reread this. And just, yeah, Adam.
Humble brag. If you want to hear all about that in a long form conversation, you can listen to episode 206 of this podcast, because I interviewed her all about her inspiration for this book. And yeah, so it's a very emotional conversation.
Yeah.
We may have both cried.
Oh, man. Wow. And this is the first book in this series. Her second book hasn't come out yet, but is coming out, I think, in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say, like, March-ish.
March.
Right.
I've been following it.
Yeah, it's also going to be a movie.
Wow.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, so, and we talked about this in the podcast, but she signed 2 7-figure deals in 1 week, one for the book, one for the movie.
Whoa.
Yeah, she had a good week.
Yeah.
She's just the freaking coolest person.
Yeah. There's been a lot of really great African-American fantasy coming out. And Marlon James, he won, mm-hmm. oh gosh, I forget what award he won. But he is coming out with, I just looked it up. Basically, I think the story behind his was that he didn't see enough fantasy that was representative of African-American culture. And so he decided he was going to go ahead and write one. And so he did. And it's coming out in 2019. It's called Black Leopard, Red Wolf. Mm-hmm. And from what I've heard, it's a lot like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's like African-American Game of
yeah.
Thrones.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It All sounds those. Awesome. I have an advanced reader copy on my desk that I need to get started.
It's a weighty-looking
book. Very thick book.
It's big. Yes.
Again, if you like Game of Thrones, it's probably right up your alley, right. And it's big, so it'll take you a while.
Of all the things that I'm most humble braggy about, my favorite is that Tomi Adeyemi and I are friends on all of social media.
Oh, that is cool.
Well, nothing is cooler than taking a picture with like my wife and seeing like Tomi Adeyemi, like your Instagram.
Post. Oh, that's sweet. Casual.
Follow her on Instagram if people don't. She does all these cool kickboxing videos.
Oh, nice!
Everything about her is the freaking coolest.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome.
So that was a lot on Tomi.
So we all kind of have crushes on her. Hopefully your dad and your sister like some of those suggestions, and they pushes them to read a little bit. But
she'll love that.
Just Googled her and she's 25.
Yeah, didn't realize.
Oh,
yeah.
You shouldn't do that. Yeah. You want to hear something else?
What am I doing with
If I remember correctly, her sister is like at Yale Medical School, and her brother is a like hip hop star. Like they're the coolest family on planet Earth. Like,
yeah.
They take all these family photos.
Why do some people have, like, all the talents?
Spread that gene pool.
I think both her parents are doctors. Like, they have, like, they take these family photos, and I'm just like, look how cool you guys are. It's ridiculous. All right, we got one more. Maria, you want to take us home?
Yeah, absolutely. I love your podcast, and I just saw on Twitter that you're offering help with gift ideas. Yes, we are. I'm looking to get a book for my boyfriend, but not sure what to get. He likes to read about drug dealers. He is currently reading Devil in the White City. Any help you can offer would be greatly appreciated. Loved this, actually. I am so excited. At first, I was like, okay.
Interesting.
All right. But so, obviously, Devil in the White City is not about drug dealers, but is about, you know, true crimey sort of thing. So I went a couple of ways with this, also depending on if he liked Devil in the White City, which I know is a little bit more kind of the historical aspect around the World's Fair and not necessarily just about H.H. Holmes and his, like, slide for dead bodies that he had in his house or whatever. I think there was something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah. He had, like, a dead body shoot.
Neat.
Oh, so, like a Sweeney Todd situation?
Yes. Yeah, kind of Sweeney Todd, except real. Yeah, except that this happened. But anyway, okay, so I have a couple.
People.
Yeah, seriously. I have a couple of fiction recommendations and then a couple of nonfiction recommendations. So my fiction recommendations is The Power of the Dog trilogy by Don Winslow. The first one's called The Power of the Dog. Then the second one is The Cartel. And the last one is The Border, which comes out in February. So if you get started now, you can be ready for the third book that's coming, hopefully. It's all around this obsessive DEA agent that's mixed up with the heirs to one of the largest drug empires in Mexico. And it kind of travels around, like there's scenes in New York, Mexico City, Tijuana, Central America. It kind of follows this kind of this DEA war, his war on drugs kind of thing, and it's really action-packed, and he sets the scene really well in all of these different areas, so that's kind of cool because it's not just set in Texas, you know, America border. It's kind of set all over the place, which is really neat. And then another one, which is a little older, and maybe you've seen the movie, but if you haven't read No Country for Old Men, that's a really great kind of, if there was going to be a classic about drugs, that might be it. That's also the Texas-Mexico border. Cormac McCarthy's character finds a pickup truck surrounded by a lot of dead men, and there's still heroin and cash in it, and he takes the money, and it kind of sets off a chain of events, and it was I think it won the Academy Award for the Coen brothers.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Back in the day in like 2007 or something. But that's a good one. His writing is really lovely. True crime wise, one that kind of almost reads like, oh, sorry, my scroll went the wrong way and it vanished.
It reads like,
I realize that you don't know what happened and I just yelled. One that kind of reads like a thriller is called Wolf Boys, Two American Teenagers and Mexico's Most Dangerous Drug Cartel. And this is written by a journalist, Dan Slater. These are two teenagers who kind of get mixed up in the drug trafficking by their border town of Laredo, Texas. And it's, like I said, it reads like a thriller, but this actually happened. And so it's kind of like these teens turned into pawns for the drug cartels. So that's a good one. And then if you did like Devil in the White City, I have another one that's like very similar. It's called The Poisoner's Handbook by, yep, it's a delight.
It's so good.
By Deborah Bloom. It's kind of like, so before, you know, there were autopsies where they actually used science instead of just like looking at the body and being like, he's dead.
They did say that.
They definitely said it just like that. The easiest way to poison, to kill somebody was to poison them with like arsenic or cyanide.
Casual.
Yeah, just, you know, those things. So this is kind of about early 20th century New York, how there's like a toxicologist that paired up with a medical examiner and how they kind of started being able to find those kind of things in the system after people died. And it kind of, so it's like, it's kind of medical nonfiction thriller-y.
I was just going to say, they do a really good job of like every chapter like starts, or like every section starts with like a crime that actually happened.
Right.
And the author does an awesome job of making it feel like a literary, like it feels like he's telling a story, but it's a thing that actually happened.
Right.
And then they set up this mystery of how it happened, and then they kind of go into breaking down what poison was used and how they started to discover it. And that is such a good
book. It's really cool. If he was into Devil in the White City, I think this is really good for that. I was hoping, so this is, I'm going off on a slight tangent, but it's still to do true crime. I was really hoping that there would be more stuff published about the Tylenol killer, who literally filled like bottles that were being sold in like general stores with, I think it was cyanide, but I can't remember. But there's not really much about that. But I highly recommend just looking that up and reading about it. Or I know I've listened to a couple podcasts about it, but I can't remember which podcast because I listened to too many, including this one.
we don't fully endorse any of
that. Yeah. So that's my generic podcasting. Yeah. But that is an interesting one and kind of along the same lines. But yeah, Poisoner's Handbook, I think, would be really delightful.
Not only do I recommend other podcasts, I bring other podcasts on all the time. Like, instead of listening to mine, you should listen to theirs.
Yeah.
Like,
that's cool.
Okay, as I will have mentioned in the intro before all of this, all these books are in the show notes, so if you liked anything, you can just click there, whether they were for your recommendations or not. I like the idea, now that there's three of you here, of bringing you all and together. This is enjoyable for me. I like this a lot.
I like doing reader's advisory for your listeners.
Well, yeah, it's really fun.
Jill and I talked about a million years ago when we first started the idea for this podcast. This is all it was going to be, was reader advisory. But we also initially were like, yeah, it would be no problem getting people that don't know our podcast exists or email us and ask for recommendations. Now we have plenty of listeners. We can get recommendation advice stuff anytime we want. So we can always... We'll do some more reader advisory stuff.
I think it's good because, again, I feel like, I mean, we read, I feel like in-house people read a lot of the same things. And so I'm like, I'm tired of listening to what Emma's read.
Well,
killer thrillers.
You jest, but man, oh man, I feel like I am always recommending the exact same books all over and over and over again. Much like Children of Blood and Bone. They're probably tired of hearing this.
Well, I think it's fun too, like, the three of us, even though we do similar jobs during the day, and we get excited about like some of the same like core books probably, but I feel like our wheelhouses are all different, which is really fun for us to recommend these different things. Like, it was fun to split up. I feel like we were able to do that.
And it's great to get to dive into, you know, some of the books that you guys really enjoyed reading and figure out, you know, where you should go from there.
Yeah.
That's something I really miss from working at the library.
Yeah.
Well, we can help.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you mostly, you three, for joining me. This is a little bit longer than we're normally doing, which I'm all for because then I get to talk with you guys. So, all right. I hope you guys all enjoyed those. If people want more recommendations, again, just shoot us an email at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com, and you may just get a response from one of these three because they're better at this part than I am. thank you guys for joining me today.
Sure.
Thanks for having us.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
Hi there, I'm Heather Drago.
And I'm Sarah Saunders.
We host the podcast, That's a Hard No, about saying no and setting boundaries.
So you can become that true and empowered you that this world needs. Saying no isn't just okay.
It's the key to living an authentic, fulfilling life.
I'm a licensed professional clinical counselor. So while this podcast is in no way a replacement for one-on-one therapy, I suppose I know what I'm talking about.
I'd say so. We talk about learning to say no and set healthy boundaries and how it impacts mental health, physical health, relationships, parenthood, and more.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit our website, hardnopodcast.com.
We're here to help you find your no and say it unapologetically.
That's a hard no.